All right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and Ant. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Tessitore, a writer of names and flavor text for Wizard of the Coast and also articles at Gathering Magic. And with me, as always, is the very flavorful art connoisseur, Mike Linneman. And today we got some special guests with us on Snack Time. We have Colin Kawakami, and we also have Liz Leo, and we're going to have a cast today all about the art of foiling. So welcome to the show, guys.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good to be here. Hey, another episode of the Snack Time. All right, foil episode coming in hot. We gotta start this off right away. Ant, what do you got? Foil, flavor gem. What's it gonna be? What's your favorite?
All right, so my absolute favorite foil flavor gem lately has been Tainted Remedy. The thing that I really like about the foil for this card are two things. I really like the window that's behind Liliana. It's like got, you know, some nice moonlight coming in. That looks really good in foil. And I especially appreciated the nice little touch that they did on the gold potion that's running down her brother's lips. I think like that really popped in foil as well, which was pretty cool to see. So all around, I thought that was a pretty sweet little foil job. And it looks nice hanging on my wall. So it looks pretty cool.
Sweet, yeah. I hate that.
You what? You hate that one?
Yeah, but the foil of it is awesome.
The foil of it is awesome, but I run a lot of life gain in my commander deck, so.
Daggers!
Ooh, I'm going to put this in my deck against you, Colin.
Yeah, write that down, Mike, so you can make Colin hate your commander deck even more.
Okay, so viewers don't know that they were totally busting my balls about my commander deck, like, for minutes before. I got booted from the call, apparently, magically happened prior to, because my commander deck blows up lands sometimes. Not all the time, but sometimes.
All right, your commander deck is dirty because you fetch your win condition. It's a combo, and you destroy lands.
Okay. I'm sorry I grew up on Stone Rain, the original gangster. Everyone loved it.
I hate you. I hate you.
I hate fun so much. I just hate fun.
I'm going to describe Mike's deck. So Robert Schuster played against us, and he seems like a really nice guy. Really nice guy. And we played two games, and I thought he was going to punch Mike in the face. Like, he's just like, it was the worst.
Well, he also played Force of Will in a commander deck, so just saying.
Just so everybody knows, Rob Schuster is a guy that recently joined R&D. He'd been at Wizards for a while, but he recently joined R&D to work on Mitco Digital.
Right, and he's also he's a member of the Wizards team for the Community Cup this year, right?
That's correct, yeah.
So, back up. What was that word that you used?
What word?
He's a what designer?
Oh, I didn't say designer, I don't think.
Oh, no, so he's, is it Magic Online? Mitco?
Yeah, he works on Mitco.
Mitco! Okay. I mean, I see that, and people's like, oh, yeah, that's the shortened version, but you don't ever hear it that often. It's like Andrew City asking, how do you say Onake Tomb, or Onake? I don't really know. And I always like hearing the things
I'm
a lot.
I'm just glad that you're not using Modo anymore, because that was super confusing.
Yeah, it was.
But anyway, all right, Mike, what's your flavor gem? We're getting
flavor gem. All right, back on track, back to the foils. I had to pick one of the artists that's done a bajillion cards, a bajillion foils, and picked Kev Walker. Everybody loves Kev. Why pick one foil when I can pick two? So I picked Ravenous Demon, Archdemon of Greed. I think I wrote the flavor text for this way back in the day. And the reason I really enjoy any Kev Walker piece, it's because a lot of his backgrounds aren't filled with noise. He really focuses in on what you're supposed to stare at. And in this case, it's, ooh, there's a demon here and it's on like fire, maybe? Like the foil really, really flows into this like massive demon sacrifice thing on the front. And on the back you're like, ooh, that looks super badass. Look at how long those talons are. Sweet. So I really, really enjoy that. And whenever I see Kev Walker foils, I try to pick up one for a commander deck I have, but I don't really play black all that much. It's hard to blow up lands in black other than Sinkhole, real talk. So usually I stay on his green side, which, you know, he has varying levels of. But I really, really, really like this. I like whenever he gets a foil piece, especially a creature. I think it looks super cool.
I love Kev Walker. He's actually one of my favorite Magic artists. He has like a really, really distinctive style, and I think it's one of the, you know, along with Wayne Reynolds and Steve Prescott, one of the guys that like you his card goes down on the table and you can actually see who the artist is almost immediately, just recognizing the artwork from across the table.
Right, like a Therese Nielsen type of thing too.
Yeah, exactly.
But he could keep that set in and set out. I mean, some artists disappear for a few sets, come back. But Kev's in everything, and you're like, oh, okay, this is Theros Kev. Oh, this is Lorwyn Kev. And it all looks on point,
that's the cool
but it
part.
Still hits.
Yeah, you can tell Kev Walker's style, but he still fits whatever the style of the actual plane is, which is, that's got to be a lot harder than, you know, just slapping your style on anything. Like, you still got to make it look like it matches, you know, a Greek theme or Innistrad or whatever.
Sure, yeah. And what was the was it the cons card that he did? Orc Sure Shot?
I think so.
Yep. With the bow and arrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, it's like, yeah, he's drawing down on the camera. That's just such a great piece.
It's such a simple composition, but that is so freaking hard for people to do, making the hand the right size. Oh my god. It's really difficult.
Yeah. One of you cards are awesome.
He's great at this. All right, Liz, you're up next. What do you got for us?
All right, so going with the fact that Origin just came out, Demonic Pact is one of my favorite foils. One crazy card, haven't gotten a chance to play with it, of course, mostly because I play limited, and a little tricky there. But I just love that all of her etchings are, we just put a lot of effort into making sure that they would really pop out and glow, and the purple is so vibrant against the black. It's definitely one of my favorites. She looks so awesome, so powerful.
I bet you were trying to get that for years. I mean, that's like the first Lorwyn thing of the tattoos, like, oh my god, we need to make this in foil. We need to make these jump out any chance we get. When do we get a close-up?
Yeah, you can just sort of see them in all their glory. It's awesome. Man, yeah. And plus, like, you sort of get the, like, power floating off of her fingertips and the zombies in the background. Yeah, really great piece. Super fun to make into a foil.
Yeah, she's got the glowing power eyes, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Alexi Breeklow. Another one of like Magic's premier artists.
Yeah, he's okay at this. Okay at making the art. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
He sort of knows his way around a planeswalker, I guess.
He's okay at this. Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's beautiful. Absolutely fantastic piece. I mean, this is the piece that I want to see, is like strip everything away and just show the art. Just so you can see this like super in-depth, high resolution. Cosplay people love the crap out of this sort of stuff. That they can see exactly, like, oh, that's how that works on the side. And maybe the foil might accentuate something as well, which is nice.
Right.
Yes. All right, Colin, what do you got for us?
I like Narset Transcendent. Narset's Planeswalker from Dragons of Tarkir. That foil, actually, that marked the turning point. I used to oversee the foiling process. Through Fate Reforged, and then I turned it over to Liz Leo for Tarkir, and she and our imaging department just knocked that one completely out of the park. That card looks so good in foil.
And oh, so that's what you used to do.
It was actually, so here's the deal. First of all, I do want to make it clear that number one, the artists themselves, the illustrators, aren't part of the foiling process. The artists turn in the flat artwork to us. The foiling process is done in-house by the imaging department that right now is...
We have Marsha Rivera-Fletcher, Sven Bolin, Kevin Yee, and Carmen Chung. I work mostly with Marsha.
Okay.
Yeah. And Liz worked with Marsha really extensively on Narsa Transcendent, making sure the crop was right, making sure that the foil was just absolute. I mean, honestly, it really is a really beautiful package as it puts together.
It's sort of gold and fire, and that always looks amazing.
Yeah, and the patterning on her her clothing is just really nice.
Yeah, it pops.
So you said they're part of the imaging team. Is that under the creative team umbrella, or are they separate?
Yeah, no, that's actually, they are not part of R&D.
Okay.
They are part of CAPS.
They're CAPS.
Production
Services. Okay, so you're over there with Kavada and his peoples.
Yep.
Those weird dogs. Yep, okay.
No, so you said there's a team, there are how many people on the team total that work on foils? You said four, right?
Basically, usually have one or max two people who work on a set at a time. I've worked with any number of about four other people on foils. Right now, it's mainly Marsha, but I've worked with Sven, Kevin, and Carmen before. So yeah, it's really like one person gets to own a set and gets to go through and sort of, work on that set of cards at a time, which is sort of awesome because, you know, you sort of want a goblin in this set to look the same throughout the set, so having one person on it is really useful.
So I'm jumping right in with questions because I'm super interested into this whole aspect of the set design process or whatever you want to call it. So if it's just you or you and Marsha on a set, like how long do you get to work on foiling each individual card? Like, are you expected to pump out 10 a day? Do you get to spend a whole day on something like Narset? Like, what's your time frame?
So Marsha essentially works on all of them and creates sort of a collection of all of the cards in the set for me to review. So, she pumps through them as quick as she can. It depends on the set how long it takes. It's really hard to measure per card. But when I get the cards and we're sort of reviewing it, also let me back up. Oftentimes before we work on a set, we sit down and meet and talk about the sort of maybe special or unique aspects of the set and how we want to see that portrayed in foil. Like, for example, for dragons, we talked about sort of how each dragon lord was going to be shown in foil. Like, you know, we wanted to, what is it, like, Dromica had the scales, and Atarka, we're going to make sure the antlers and the claws were brighter. And so we wanted to make sure that also played out through the broods. So we sort of come up with a game plan. Then she tackles the individual cards.
Okay.
And view them, you know, it's completely dependent on the card. There's sometimes where you look at a card and you're like, yep, that looks great. Other times, like with Narset, where we went back and we're like, you know, we really want the gold to pop. So she goes back and she iterates on it and it comes back and we look at it.
Right.
And so those cards can go through, you know, just a couple days of iteration.
Okay. Wow. So you guys actually sit down and come up with a, like, I don't want to call it a gimmick, but, you know, like a trademark. Hey, this faction is going to have certain attributes highlighted in foil to, you know, differentiate it from something else. So, for example, maybe like, I don't know, the Akron soldiers on Theros would all have their swords highlighted or something like that.
Yeah, we have a game plan. Most of it's to keep consistency. Like in one card, we sort of want it to be similar to the next card in which there is a soldier, etc.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, we wanted to read that there are rules as we go into a set we talk about. Like, yes, these are how this specific class of cards are going to be treated.
Yeah, and some rules are already set. They're really basic, like, you know, how we treat fire, how we usually treat water and spell effects, eyes, armor. But then you just maybe get a new creature, like maybe you haven't dealt with djinn very much, so you want to figure out how we're going to do djinn. So
they almost have a visual language to it that's, I don't want to say like a per set style guide, but you have, you know, gags of sorts, like Innistrad had, you know, art direction that was made it visually similar, and foiling also has a process. We've just never heard about it because it's we haven't had Liz Leo on yet.
So actually, that's a good point. Let's back up a little bit and maybe Liz just tell us more about who you are and what you do at Wizards.
Sure. Well, I'm the graphic designer in Magic R&D. So mainly I do graphic design specifically for in-game items like card frames, card frame treatment, expansion symbols, card frame icons like the Origins double-sided planeswalker indicator icons. I also get to review crops of images and cards and review the foiling process. So those are sort of my main responsibilities. I love it. It's super awesome. I've gotten really, really familiar with the card frame, and it's something that is just it's so simple when you just look at it, but has so many different elements that tell different things. It's so awesome to work with that and discover the sort of small things you can do with it to just give lots of information.
Right. So did you work on the new card frame?
No, so I didn't work on the M15 card frame design. I came in more than a year ago, and some of the first frame designs that I've really gotten to the public is the Origins double-faced planeswalkers that I worked on.
Okay.
Yeah, there's more to come.
Yeah, big stuff coming, but yeah. Yes, that's the first sample of Liz Leo work that you guys have been able to see.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's very cool. So by working in that, you probably have a feeling or two as judge foils sometimes get printed with the old frame, sometimes they're with the new frame. Do you feel that on a visceral basis when there's promos and things that come up that you're like, ooh, I think old frame would look better with this one, or ooh, we should keep this new frame or change this one in a new frame? Are those like arguments that like or discussions that happen internally on the imaging team?
Promos operate on a different schedule, so there are a lot of promos that went out with pre-M15 frames, but everything from this point forward will be printed with the M15 frame.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you also, Liz, do you work on making the planeswalkers pop out of the frame? Are you the one who's kind of deciding which pieces of the planeswalker is going to stick out?
I mean, yes and no. Like, I don't do the physical cutting out of the Photoshop image, but I work with Marcia to figure out how we want that to look and we'll adjust.
Okay, cool.
Sometimes we'll mock up just to make sure that, you know, it doesn't, no heads go over text, etc.
Right.
Or if it does, it's obscuring the title.
All right. So on that note, I mean, as we're talking about composition, I mean, is there ideal things that work better for foiling in that tense, like lots of little Ghibli bits in front, or things in back that you can highlight, or even things that are hidden in plain sight? I mean, Steve Argyle hides stuff in his pieces all the time. Is there anything that you really look for when trying to find that or get really excited about? You'd be like, ooh, we need to highlight that thing right there that the goblin's holding in the back, or the Gift of Orzhova, that has to totally be the total foil thing. I mean, do you ever like get excited about seeing something that jumps out that isn't the norm, like a glowing sword or eyes or things?
I mean, yeah, there's definitely cards I see where I'm like, wow, I cannot wait to see this, like, completely printed because it's going to be gorgeous. I guess, let's see here. We tend to put foil parts where light is hitting more naturally. Like, if something is a glowy sword, it's going to be glowy. So, where am I going with this? Basically, I think the things that tend to look best are really just spell effects. Fire, magic, etc., like that tends to pop the most. Water looks really good. Blood looks really good when it's foiled. Honestly, something like, I think you showed the image of the Finest Hour looks so gorgeous in foiling, but the process is a little complicated. You want to make sure that when something is already so bright that you don't overdo it, that you don't make it silver in the background and losing detail. Occasionally tend to highlight things in foil that aren't naturally light, that aren't naturally magical or hit by light, and that usually means that the thing is important, and so that becomes a little bit more harder of a process. You have to know the story of a card a little more than just knowing the composition of a card, but usually we tend to want the foiling to support the natural composition that the artist has already done. And so obviously cards with a good composition are going to have a really good foil. And like, for example, the Demonic Pact has that gorgeous sort of backlighting that hits her side, then also has all of her etchings, which is super exciting. And I love when there's an aspect of a card that's just so like, yes, that's what we're going to hit with foil, because it makes it easy. It makes it pop.
It saves me time in the chair.
Right.
Think about, too, there's a card by Voiken Baga and Dragons, in Fate Reforged, Saltai Runemark. That was one where, you know, if you guys managed to check out the foil for that, there's a lot of really intricate jewelry that the characters are wearing in that piece that all pop really well in foil. That's a piece that ends up looking really, really cool in foil.
Yeah, that's a good point. Is oftentimes when you get cards that I think are a little bit darker in composition, where you don't get to see as much of the detail, when you get to put foil in it and those pieces, especially like jewelry and armor, it adds a total another dimension to the card.
Right. Yeah, I noticed that on an old, I think it was Glistening Oil, I think it's the card from New Phyrexia, where the foil treatment was done on the oil, and it gave it like an actual real world kind of rainbowy glistening feel to it. So it's like the foil actually made the card even more flavorful in that aspect, which is pretty cool.
I always particularly look for ways to make the flavor of a card pop. Like, I'm pretty sure I keep using the word pop like I'm some
use the clip art term. Like, if you gotta make a pop, you gotta open a pack, make a pop.
Yeah.
So, but for foil,
keep using it, and someday you can be an art director.
You just need some neck pens.
Yeah.
In Con, the scholar with the bald scholar with the chain. What is it called? You know what I'm talking about, Con?
I do, but I don't know.
Youthful Scholar by Cynthia.
Yeah, Youthful Scholar. The sort of story behind that card was that the dragon with Silumbar would use the scholar to, you know, gain knowledge and then sort of siphon it from the scholar, and so it has these lines on its brain that represent sort of his knowledge, and we decided to make the lines shiny when we might not have, to sort of highlight that little bit of flavor.
Right. It looks like a butcher like marking up
butcher's map on the head.
Yeah,
right.
So it's fun when you get to notice little details and connect it better to the story of a card.
Okay, so would that lend itself to different media? For example, is it easier to foil a traditional painting compared to a digital painting? I mean, does it matter to you?
Yeah, I find no difference in that. Not a difference at all. Both tend to be really awesome.
Yeah, by the time it gets to the foiling process, it's already gone through digital imaging.
Mm-hmm. It pretty much, the process is exactly the same.
Fair enough.
So other than the, kind of like the preset things that you mentioned before, like fire or water or any type of visual cues that you want to use, like, you know, the lightning bolts for a particular dragon brood or something like that, is there anything that you in particular like to look for to foil, like be it, like you said, jewelry or types of metals or anything like that? Like, is there something that you just personally enjoy putting the treatment on cards?
I don't know, like,
Liz Leo loves all the babies.
Yeah, I love everything. but honestly, what's harder is deciding what not to have foiled. Sometimes, you see a treatment and you're like, oh, you know, that shouldn't actually be as bright as it is. But I think that sort of happens more. I think it's a lot easier to be like, yes, bright. We want things to be bright. And it takes more of an eye to go through and be like, you know, we want to actually add contrast.
Right.
So maybe I enjoy deciding the things we shouldn't make foil.
which is...
I'm more optimist than you think, Colin.
Which you mentioned of that. So on that, of this high contrast, something that I really noticed in Origins that came out were two forests. And The reason I bring these up is the first thing I thought of is, oh, I've seen these horrors before. This must be a four foiling process. But since that foiling process, you know, doesn't matter for either way, there were two forests in Origins that have the exact, maybe not the exact same, but super, super similar to two compositions from Lorwyn. And they're from two different artists in Lorwyn, from Omar Rand and Steve Prescott, and then from Jonas Del Roe. So I'm curious, is this from a foiling process? Is this, how did those two things happen? Are we searching for a red herring here?
It has nothing to do with the foil process. It was a stylistic choice to bring those forests more into the style of Origins, more for a place that you could see Nyssa in. In general, the way that foiling works is we never commission art or art direct for the foiling process. It's something that's meant to support the art. So that's sort of the way we think about it, is that the foil's there to make the art look good. We'll never restrict the artist or make decisions based on what we think would be good for foil.
Yeah, Lorwyn had a very distinct visual style and
storybook. Yeah,
and Origins also, like, you know, had something, a visual target that we were going for. We didn't want to have something jarring. Obviously, Origins deals with 10 different planes, and we wanted to have a cohesive visual style for all 10 because it was happening in one set.
Ah, so by having different ones or a reprint, it'd be like, these look totally weird. Why are these here? And instead recommissioning that. Okay, that totally makes sense. That totally makes sense. Got it.
Thank you, Mike.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it. Neat. Okay, well, the next thing we have is I would love to know, like, how do you interact with the other parts of the foiling things? For example, tokens. There have been foil tokens. They technically do exist. Players would love them. I mean, there is a 2020 token that is quite popular with people. Is there? Can you give us any insight? I mean, they haven't been made. It's not something that gets made regularly. Is there any reason why, or is that something that is just impossible to do? Is it logistics? Well, can you give us any info on that?
Logistically, it's hard to do production-wise. We won't rule it out, but it's one of those things where there has to be an actual reason for doing it.
Yeah, we have done foil tokens. If, you know, you can do a Google search and find foil tokens, and like Merit Mage, obviously, there were tokens that came in the Hell Vault that were foil. Right. So it is something that we're going to do, and we will, you know, target specifically. We don't want to do it all the time because, I don't know, it will add value to the token, so it's something we're going to do, like, targeted. And obviously, if it's something that people like, then we'll look into doing it again.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay, so that's good to know. But it's not the, we're never going to do it again, it's... there's a bunch of different reasons why, which is totally cool. I'm just saying, I need some foil sapperling tokens for this commander deck. It's awesome. Night soil coming in there after all the lands are blowed up. I mean, I just need them. I mean, real talk.
Obviously, it's special to people. So yeah, if they're done, they'll be good.
And like, knowing that you want foil tokens, I will definitely go
for it. Especially for your super, super fun green spiky deck.
Yeah.
You horrible person.
So for the next like 5 years, every foil token made is going to be like red.
Everything but every a color but
green. There will be no green tokens.
Right.
Mike can populate an infinite army of sapperlings.
So speaking of Commander, like, foils are very popular with the Commander crowd, and I know that like foiling out a deck is something that a lot of people do. I'm curious, like, Colin and Liz, if you guys are you into like foiling out your decks? Is that something that you do? Is that something that people at Wizards are into? Or, you know, how do you guys approach putting foils into your actual decks?
Well, I mean, I love foils because I get to work with them. They're so fun for me to look at. And one of my problems with having foils in my decks is that my opponents know what card I have because I'm just sitting there like twisting it and like trying to get it. So I have to be careful with that. But I guess I sort of look at foils as, like, when I get them, it's very exciting to put in my deck, but I don't try and search them out. It's sort of like I don't really go on quest for specific cards. If I can get it, then it's awesome, and I'll put it in.
I will not rest until every card in my commander deck is foil and signed by the artist.
It's awesome when I have
a... And signed?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It's awesome when I have a foil card that's signed by an artist that Colin wants.
Yeah, that's... I actually, that's true. It was like, there are times when, you know, foils will be found around the office sometimes, and I will rush from cubicle to cubicle, trading. I offer things in return.
That's true.
Even if it's just my, you know, goodwill.
Sometimes favors, cookies.
Right, exactly.
Interesting. So there you go, Mike. That's, if you want your foil saplings, you just got to fork over some artist-signed foil tokens. Or foil cards.
that's totally how I have to do it.
I just want to take it and twist it and hold it to the light.
It's just stare at it during the middle of a game.
It's like, Liz, it's your turn. Like, in a minute.
Yep.
Called a foil daze.
For instance, like when we went to do the Dragons pre-release, the card that I really wanted as my promo was Sunscorched Regent, and when I got it, I literally stood up at the table and shouted and was like, "Yes, Sunscorched Regent!" And that went into my my life gain deck.
I seem to remember Hardened Scales.
Hardened Scales, which was a Mark Winners piece.
That I got
signed. Yep. That's right. Yeah, so Liz got a foil Mark Winners Hardened Scales in her pre-release, and then I basically bullied her into giving it to me. I gave you a foil. I did trade. Yeah.
Which I then traded to
such good coworkers to one another. Fantastic.
A lot of love over there.
Tons of it. So, for this terminology process, I mean, it's a foiled card, it's a foiling treatment, a foiling process that you work on. It's not a hollow card or a ghost rare or anything goofy of that sort, or it's not foiled. Is there a place that, you know, or a way that of terminology of how you go and talk about this? Because it's something that people just pick up as just lingo. We don't call them premium cards, even though that's what they are. How do you describe these things that you work on? Like when your aunt asks you, "What did you do at work last week?" Like, how do you describe that to them?
Oh, in simpler terms than I'm about to say, but I guess it's pretty
simple. I say, shut up, Aunt Petunia. Go back to your story. Go ahead. With your straight answer.
Someone who doesn't read Harry Potter. Anyway. Pretty simply, I call them foil cards. Premium is sort of the umbrella that foil goes under. Like, From the Vault is premium. Foil cards are premium. San Diego Comic-Con exclusives are premium. So I guess I would say... I would call them foil cards. I mean, not to be confused with a hollow foil stamp, which is, that is what I would call the little stamp on Rares and Mythics on the M15 streams.
Hollow foil stamp, okay.
5 times fast.
Okay, yeah, totally. So is that a process or a treatment on the card?
I guess we go through a process to decide the treatment.
Yeah.
Nailed it.
Nice job, Liz.
Well done.
No one will think less of you if just call a card a foil. That's what it is. It's, unless it's not a foil card, then.
That's fantastic. Oh my god, I'm getting attacked by a wiener dog right now. Struggling right now. We have 3 wiener dogs in the house, and one of them is just all of my business. So there's that. Which Ant, of course, can or cannot edit that out if you'd like.
No, I'm leaving it in.
Yeah.
Of course.
Oh well. Okay. Then next thing I would be curious of is, say people would want to follow up after this. You know, it's August. will both of you be at PAX Prime talking foils and probably being at some of the events?
Well, I will be at PAX just as a person who likes being at PAX. I'm not involved in anything right now, but I will probably be wandering around the magic area. I don't know, creepily, one might say.
Liz Leo is the most unassuming person. Is that Liz Leo? She in fact is a huge celebrity and in charge of many important things that with regards to Magic Creative. The cards themselves, where the rubber hits the road. That's Liz Leo. She will not cut into the front of a line. She will never flex her fame in front of anyone.
I'm gonna go to PAX.
So that's assuming, Colin, that you do.
Yeah. Meanwhile, Colin is like flipping tables and like kicking people out of the way just so he can get his foil cards signed by artists.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Like I show up late. I order something that's not on the menu, and then I leave before the check comes.
I'm
Liz Leo. I don't know what we've announced, and I don't know what we will have announced by the time this airs, but there will be people from the creative team at PAX that you will be able to go and listen to the things that they say and the
words
they're going to be talking about.
There will be words. Maybe pictures, but we're not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe. There could be a horizontal arrangement. Maybe not. You don't know.
Yeah, I think we've heard up to now that you guys have an entire like area designated just to Magic this year, right?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we have it's a huge part of the Seattle, what is it, the Convention Center?
Yeah.
It's like, I think we have our own building, we have...
You have your own wing, I think.
It's usually in the annex.
Yeah.
We usually have the annex of the Seattle Convention Center.
Yeah, and it's all going down there. It's going to be a big Magic extravaganza. I myself will not be there. I got to opt out this year.
Oh.
What could you possibly have to do that could be more important?
That's a good question. I'm doing important things for Magic's future that weekend.
Of course.
So if you see an offer on the corner, come up to her and...
Liz Leo will be the most glamorous person on the show floor.
I'll wear a fur coat.
Oh, you should. You ever see there's a guy who has, he has like samurai style armor made out of cards. Liz, you should totally make foil armor and wear that to PAX. Foil cards, magic armor.
Foil artist proofs. Armor.
Yeah, we prize our foil cards too much. I think that's great. If people have like uses for foils that are not necessarily actually gameplay related, then cool.
I love seeing that stuff. I think I've seen someone in like a Magic card dress, and I think it's the coolest thing.
That sounds fantastic. Well, that's what I have for foils. I mean, we wanted to keep it short. We got yelled at by tons of people saying you guys talk too friggin' long. We're going to keep one short and simple this week because we're getting...
We got
big news we can't announce today about something big happening with a future Snack Time cast, but we just want to keep it short and say, welcome, thank you so much for being on with us, and I hope a few viewers learned a couple things about the foiling process.
Well, you're welcome. Yeah. I love foils. I hope that everybody out there loves foils. Go ahead, collect them all.
Collect them all!
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we loved having you on, Liz. Like Mike was saying, we really wanted to shed light on the whole foiling process because, as you and Colin put it, I mean, it's an art. Like, we're not just taking, what's on a Magic card and just slapping it on some shiny cardboard. Like, there's actually a lot of thought that goes into it that I feel like a lot of people out there and a lot of orthoses may not have been aware of. Like I definitely had no idea that I should have been looking for visual cues on my dragon broods, and I'm definitely going to go back and look for it now. Like I think that's awesome.
Okay, guys, I do want to, you know, this is Liz Leo's first time on the podcast, obviously. This is my second time, I think. And people don't know a lot about Liz Leo, but I do want to just, you know, mention she is a great person. She's a huge asset to Magic R&D on a lot of levels. And I will say this, is that on a team of a lot of, like, cynical and jaded and mean art directors, cynical and jaded and mean manager, Liz Leo is like the shining light of optimism. I'll tell you a story. I want to tell you a little Liz Leo story. Jeremy and I were talking one night about, well, you know, Liz Leo, she's really, really exceeding all of her expectations. What would it look like someday if she had a team of graphic designers working under her? And so rather than like speculate on it, I actually went in the next day and I asked Liz Leo, I said, Liz, if you were to hire a team of graphic designers to work under you, what would they be? And Liz said, the first thing she said is, well, they'd all be shorter than me. So we'd have an old person that could dispense sage advice. We'd have a child prodigy that would wear glasses like Harry Potter. And then we'd have a mermaid.
She'd be shorter than me because she's a mermaid.
It's so arbitrary.
But okay. Yeah.
I didn't know whether he was being serious or not. Liz.
So I look forward to that set.
I was getting entirely serious, and now I'm having a hard time filling the mermaid slot.
HR just can't find that person. Yeah. It's so tough.
They're like come on, you're killing us. Come on.
There are things ahead for
We can't wait to see those postings online and just laugh and say, ah, Liz must be hiring. Yeah, okay.
Requirements,
yeah,
must live in the sea.
Must have gills.
Must be, right.
Under 5 foot, preferred. Or required under 5 foot.
You must be this short to apply.
Yeah, I'm 5'3", so probably to make me feel superior, like 4'9".
Nice.
Yeah, I was kept wondering at GP Vegas because, you know, we were out and about, and I was like, oh, that must be Liz, because there's like no one around Liz. No one even said hello. She's like, I really should use like creative like swag or power or something. Like, just no one even said hello, and I'm like, oh, you're Liz. I know who you are.
That's true. My family in the middle of this giant like GP Vegas. Area is huge. I'm just standing in the middle of it completely alone, like looking around, like I have no idea what to do right now. You're like, hey, that's exactly how I'll be looking at PAX. If you want to find me, Mike obviously did. I was just looking very confused and didn't know what to do. So.
Well, I'll be at PAX, so if I see you stranded in a crowd somewhere, I'll come up and say hello.
How about you, Mike? Are you going to be at PAX?
Yeah.
I won't be at PAX.
Oh wow! You
unfortunately, I'm trying to make it out to ILXCON this year. Per always, as I'm trying to sneak out there. Couldn't get PAX to work, unfortunately. Sadly, I should be out at GP Seattle, GP Tacoma. Not actually in Seattle. I should be sneaking out for that though.
Okay, yeah. If you're going to be in GP Tacoma. Well, I probably won't come, but maybe I'll see you.
Yeah. I won't come anyway. Whatever. I don't want
to. Yeah, no, when you make it back in town, you guys should probably come down and we can play some Commander again. Against if you play a different deck.
Yeah.
I'll bring a different Commander.
Colin, you should have played in me and Liz's pod because we had a good time. We had some good Commander games.
I know, yes, you were in the good pod, I was in the pod with Mike.
Yeah. See, but that's what I'm saying. The problem was that you were playing with Mike.
I don't understand. It just worked in a couple times. I mean, doesn't always work. It just did. And that happens. Daggers. Oh, okay, so how can people get a hold of you? I mean, are you both silent? Do you not have any social medias at all? Are you on them internets anywhere? In case of viewers like, I don't know who Colin is. I don't know who Liz is. I want to see what they have to say or do or, I don't know, say, hey, that was a cool foil. Can they get a hold of you on the Twitters or something?
Yeah, my Twitter is It's Not Proper, which doesn't make any sense, but it's... throwback to a line I had in a high school play. So it's not proper, like ITSNOTPROPER.
So not proper. So not so proper. Yeah, and I'm Colin Danger on Twitter. Occasionally, actually, one of the things that I post is Liz Leo quotes. So if you guys are interested at all in the things that Liz Leo is saying at work, then yeah, follow me on Twitter.
Okay, we need to back up on that because we can't leave on that and not let people know. So for viewers that don't know, there's a whole feed called Eric Lauer Quotes of Twitter things. It's just random things Eric Lauer says that are ridiculous, outrageous, whatever. And seemingly, Liz Leo Quotes might be the second one to come there. Because there's some ridiculous things that make me laugh when they get posted.
None of it's ridiculous. It's all sweet and endearing, and you are a terrible person, Mike.
It's funny because, Colin, you used to pretty much only post, like, Punisher quotes, right?
That's true,
And now it's like a mix of these hardcore Punisher quotes and then these Liz Leo quotes.
Yeah, like, okay, so example Liz Leo quote right here. I was into princesses when I was a kid, but I was also into dinosaurs, and there was nowhere where they intersected. Liz Leo.
That's true. Yep,
that hashtag Liz Leo.
And there was a follow-up that was, I think that what I was looking for was princesses that rode dinosaurs. No, it's great. No, it's a great idea. Yeah, obviously, it's genius.
I told Kelly, I think she loved it.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Let's get that in a plane. Princesses on dinosaurs. That sounds pretty cool.
I'll throw that away. Yeah. That's probably
coming in 2017. Princess dinosaur plane. Totally.
Yeah.
Dude, I would buy. Well, I'd buy a set like Chandra riding on a dinosaur. That'd be freaking awesome. I would buy that.
I want to see
think
that.
We're done here. Okay.
I think. Good.
Reading Colin's Twitter, we're definitely.
Yeah. As we get into it. All right, thanks again, guys. We'll talk soon. People going to PAX, find the creative folks there. It's always just crazy exciting. Follow them on the Twitters. Ant and I are going to be writing on Wednesdays at Gathering Magic. We are kind of working on adding a few new things to our Wednesday lineup, which you'll see in the next about a month or two here that are coming out of the woodwork. We're engaging some new people. So you'll see those things soon.
And
otherwise,
if
thanks.
Anyone, I'm cutting you off quick, Mike. If anyone has been paying attention to anything I've said all year, they will know that August 31st is a very special date this year. It's the 10th anniversary of the term Vorthos. And we are very excited about it. And we have some cool stuff lined up. So definitely stay tuned.
I will definitely tune in for that broadcast.
Oh, it's good. It's going to be good.
It is a good one.
Thanks for watching, everybody.
All right. Bye, guys.